I'm going to depart a moment from established procedure. Tell you, Brother Zeno's subject before we sing the hymn which he's chosen. In the singing of this hymn, by knowing his subject, you can keep your minds upon what the hymn is intended to lead it into. Brother Zeno's subject is going to be the divine nature. So now we're going to sing 258, which is Brother Zeno's choice. I think it's fitting indeed that we close this first day with a message from our dearly beloved Brother Zeno. Brother Zeno has been faithful in the service of the truth and the brethren in the ministry of the dawn. And it's a privilege to have him here at this time. So with these words, we welcome our Brother Zeno.
My dearly beloved in the Lord, it's good to be here. Thus far, we're having a beautiful, wonderful convention filled with spiritual food. It's really remarkable that in this period of time, with all the corruption that's in the earth, distress and perplexity, that we can come together in peace and quiet, talk about the things that we so dearly love. I thought for this evening a little while, we talk on the divine nature. Malachi, 3rd chapter, 16th verse, we read, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and he heard. And the Lord hearkened, and he heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared, reverenced the Lord, and that thought upon his name. Then the promise, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord, of hosts in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." These thoughts immediately bring to our mind the highest form of nature in the universe, the divine nature. They're jewels, and the Lord has invited these jewels to strive earnestly to make their calling and election sure. And of them, it is stated, a book of remembrance was written. What a wonderful memory God has. The memory of our Heavenly Father. You know, friends, when we think of our great God, we just get a little glimpse of him and of that remarkable divine nature. And oh, friends, what joy it brings to our hearts when we read the precious promises that are given unto those that try. And he said, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels," all jewels rare. Jewels, friends, to be placed into God's great diadem, the hands of God. And then to be displayed to all of God's intelligent creatures throughout the endless ages of eternity. What a creation. The new creation. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Yes, friends, that place will mean with the Lord. See him as he is and share. Now hold your breath, share his glory, and that to all eternity. Oh, the precious promises. Among the many wonders of our own physical being is our memory. What would you do without memory? This experience that I've had for the past months since the 7th of September has taught me this very thing. You know, my dear brethren, I've almost lost my voice and breathing almost stopped and the memory was about gone. I couldn't memorize anything. Very little thinking I would do because I couldn't think. And oh, now how precious, since these things are returning to me, how precious is memory. Going back in your boyhood and girlhood days, think of the things that we did. And then many of the experiences we had as you sit have nothing to do but sit and think. Try to think. And some of these marvelous and wonderful and spectacular experiences that we had will come before us, and then you'll say, oh, what great thing it is. What? Memory. Memory. The mind. You and I have the mind of Christ. Ah, friends, it's really remarkable. Remarkable. The mind would be useless to all practical purposes without the faculty of memory, wouldn't it? Right. What a blessing it is. And our memories enable us to store up knowledge, effects, and experiences which are the basis of all our reasoning. You know, the Lord said in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together. Let us, you and God, myself and God, reason with God. Oh yes, we come to the classes to reason with one another, but we should often reason with God. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. A precious promise that he has given us that all will be covered. Covered by our Redeemer in his precious sacrifice. Oh, brethren, how rich we are. The primary lesson of life are stored away in our minds. And to become part of our conscious reasoning, right? By means of memory, we have a storehouse full of experiences. Some good, some bad. Right? It is by the same means we accumulate friends whose kindly acts and encouraging words form a picture of loving friendship in our minds. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. How true this is. And as we sit and meditate, and our minds go way back, I remember I was giving a public lecture in Pittsburgh, and there was a good attendance, about 600 out. And a young man that I'd attended school with one time up in Michigan, he now lived in Pittsburgh. And he passed the theater and he saw my picture and my name. Why? He says, that can't be. That can't be. I never went to school, scarcely, and he never went to school. How could they have a sign like that? And he looked at it and read it and he saw the people going in, and so he stepped in. And then he saw me on the platform. Well, of course, friends, that's something that I would never forget, would I? After the meeting, he came to me, shook hands with me, and he was so surprised he didn't know what to say, and he was a Catholic. Do you know, this is in my mind, oh, so many things like that that has taken place. And then have someone come to you and say, why, brother, don't you remember the time you gave a talk in such and such place? Well, I was there, and now I'm here, came in the truth. Oh, yes, your mind will go back to that day, too. Now, you try it. And you lie in bed if you can't sleep, and then let your memory go way back, even to when you was a little. And I do. Shall I tell you about it? Now, the boy, 4 years old, that's how far back I can remember. A young man in the neighborhood came along smoking a cigar. And I was just 4 years old and hanging on a gate. We used to have the picket fences around the yard, and I was hanging on the gate. And he come to me and he said, Christian, he said, you ever see smoke come out of a man's eyes? No, I never did. Well, he said, you look at my eyes. Look me right in the eyes and you'll see it. And I looked in his eyes and he took that cigar and burned my hand. And then he began to run. How mean. How mean. That's one of the bad things. We think of that too, wouldn't we? But it's there, friends. Never can be forgotten. A man could be that mean that he'd burn a little child's hand to deceive the little boy. Friends, we've got the earth filled with deception. Everywhere in corruption. Never was anything like it. You remember when back in Daniel's day they had a feast, Belteshazzar had a feast for all his concubines. And oh, what a debauchery, what a revelry. What a corruption took place. And then suddenly, written across the wall, meanie, meanie, tekel, you Pharisee. What does it mean? You're all found in the balances and found wanting. All weighed in the balances and found wanting. And don't you think the whole earth is weighed in the balances tonight? And they're all found wanting. And then something will happen. And all these experiences that you and I have had in all our days, consecrated days, they'll often come to us. And then all the sweet things. Think on the things that are lovely, Paul said. Things that are lovely. Yes, we do. In this way, friends, even death leaves in memory something for the living. You know that. Especially for those of the household of faith. God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Jesus quoted this and said, and God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. He's our God, because we passed from death unto life in Christ Jesus. And not the God of the dead. The dead world? Oh, no. No, he's planned 1,000 years to make them alive. Through this jewel class, the Lord Jesus and his bride, they will sit upon the throne with him and rule and reign with him 1,000 years to make them alive. They're not alive today, they're dead. That's why Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. How can a dead man bury a dead man? Well, the priest or the minister was dead too. That stood around the casket, they were all dead. They never passed from death into life. Do you think they did? Now think with me. Not very many on earth that pass from death into life, friends. No, no. But God has planned. He's planned, friends, for those that will have the same nature that God possesses, the same nature that Jesus possesses. He planned that they should be the ones that would be used to bring back the dead. What a wonderful plan God has. How wonderful. My dearly beloved, these things are so beautiful to us. In the indelible book of God's memory and the immutability of his plan, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will in God's due time be raised from the dead to life. That's the reason Jesus said in Luke. Jesus said, "Ye shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of the holy prophets in the kingdom. And men shall come from the north, the east, and the south, and the west, to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom. And be brought back. And as they're brought back, and the Lord pours his Spirit upon all flesh, and then the knowledge of the Lord fills the earth, as the waters cover the sea, they'll have knowledge, friends, quick understanding, quick discernment. They'll know they're in the kingdom when God's Spirit is poured upon them. Now visualize their minds going back to these days in this dark night. Oh, what wonderful thing it is to have a memory. Memory. Every man, woman, and child that ever lived is going to appreciate that when they're brought back. And see how appreciative we ought to be because we've taken the mind of Christ. Yes, friends. That means something. We're rich, very rich. And we have a very, very rich Father. You know, friends, in Philippians, 4th chapter, 8th verse, we read, finale, we're down about to the finale, I believe, don't you? I think so. Finally, the overthrow of Satan's empire will be complete. Gradually, have you noticed, brethren? Everything is like a thief in the night. Comes thief-like. All over the earth, everything is pointing to the one thing. The last battle, the final battle. The overthrow of Satan's empire. And all these things are coming just like a thief. Think of the increase of knowledge. How it's increasing. And our great scientist still don't know what it's about. Taking him all was a snare that dwell upon the face of the earth. Finally, my brethren, let us do some thinking, Paul said. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. Think of all the lovely things that you and I have. A lovely, kind Heavenly Father. You can think to all ages, friends, on his beautiful character of justice, wisdom, love, and power. Think of Jesus, our loving Savior. Think of all his miracles, his parables, his work. His precious promises, think on the things that are lovely. They're lovely, aren't they? The lovely plan of God. Then he adds, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now let us ask to then, and to what then are we exercising our memories? Are we filling them with the earthly things? Oh, that's the danger, isn't it? Or on the contrary, are we using our minds to store up in memory the spiritual things, the heavenly things, gathering for ourselves treasures in heaven, not in the cedar chest, no, but treasures in heaven. You're gathering treasures in heaven as you come to this convention, friends. You gather treasures in heaven as you go to your meetings. Don't fail to go when you can, because you're gathering treasures in heaven. You're gathering treasures in heaven when you serve the Lord, in whatever manner it is, aren't you? You're gathering treasures in heaven when you visit the sick or give comforting words to anyone. It's all gathering treasures in heaven. And I pray, friends, that our treasure chest up there will be filled, overflowing with treasures. You couldn't do this if it were not for memory, for your mind, to think about these things and then act upon them. That's right. Having presented ourselves in consecration to God to do His will, as we heard from this platform today in Romans 12:1, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your unreasonable service. No, don't you say that. Which is your reasonable service. God don't ask anything unreasonable of us, does He? Oh, some brethren do. Some men do. Yes, they do. They drive you. You'd have to put so many hours in a month, or else they'd put you in a big hole. All unreasonable, isn't it? It's your reasonable service. Thanks be to God for this word. And the beginning and development of the new nature is likened to the beginning and development of human life. It is, yes. As in the one case, there is a beginning. A child must be begotten first, beginning, begettal, quickening, energizing, and then finally come the birth. Isn't it that way with a Christian? First the begotten. Oh, and it's so small. The beginning, no doubt. As in the one case, there is a begetting and then a birth, so also in the other. Finally comes the birth. The saints are said to be begotten of God through the word of truth. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten. Beget Him. Begettal. Beginning. Begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born or is begotten of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And in James we have another one. James 1:18, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. First fruits, the new creation, the class that God has promised, the divine nature. Divine nature. You and I receive the first impulse in the divine life from God through His Word. And if we're faithful unto death, we'll receive the divine nature, all right. That's promised. Now, when having been justified freely by faith in the ransom, we hear the call to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And in obedience to that call, we fully consecrated our justified humanity to God. In obedience to that call, we fully consecrated our all. Side by side with that of Jesus. And this is accepted of God, and in that very act that spiritual life had its beginning. Accepted of God. That's right. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. Brethren, ye are not your own. You're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You're bought with a price. The blood of Christ. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, which are His. We must have a body to operate in. The new creature couldn't operate without a body. And so God has permitted us to use this body, that we might glorify His name. So let us take good care of these bodies and glorify God. Be pleasing to the Lord and His Spirit, which are His, the disposition. And then, friends, and if we're acting upon this which we just mentioned, storing up in our memories the wonderful promises of God. See, the beginning came, and then begin to restore those promises in our mind. That's right. And let us continue to grow in grace and in knowledge. Thus we are building up a character pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Because Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18 that we're growing in grace and knowledge with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, as new creatures, all these old things are passing away. Human desires, oh, they will come up, won't they? Yes, and the human hopes. Yes. And plans too. The old man. But they must pass away, brethren. They must die. Die daily. And then all things become new. And as they become new, all our memories are filled with these good things from the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, emphasis on therefore, if any man be in Christ, and we all say we are, he or she is a new creature, new creation. Then all things have passed away, and behold, the word behold is used because it is spectacular, it's outstanding, isn't it? It's awe-inspiring. What is? That all things have become new. They all became new to us. New hopes, new aims, the plan of God. Wonderful, friends, to have our hearts and minds filled with these heavenly things. And what will result in all this? The divine nature. For we shall be like Him. Be like the Lord Jesus, who is exalted above principalities and powers and every name that's named. On the plane all by itself, the divine plane. Wonderful, isn't it? and then to sit upon the throne with him. Is that the promise? Yes. To whomsoever overcometh will I grant to sit with me upon my throne, even as I have overcome and sit down with my Father in his throne. It means to become a king. King, yes. And we're praying, thy kingdom come. All our nominal friends are constantly praying, thy kingdom come. But if you ask them what it's all about, they couldn't tell you, could they? I'd asked my mother many times when I was a boy, but she couldn't tell me. Why do we pray, thy kingdom come? And friends, to us it's so meaningful. Think what it means. A kingdom of kings come down from God out of heaven, the Lord Jesus and his bride. That's the golden city. That's the divine government. The Lord Jesus and his bride. A kingdom of kings to rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. That divine nature, friends, is something spectacular. The Lord didn't tell us very much about it, but the inference, nearly every page of the Bible. Because, friends, we have spiritual eyes. We see these things, how beautiful they are. And though the acceptance of the heavenly call and our obedience to it was decided at one particular moment. It was, wasn't it? The bringing of every thought into harmony with the mind of God is gradual, a gradual work. That's why the Lord is permitting us to remain on this side. Because of this work in us, the development of the Christ-like character. It is a gradual bending heavenward of that which naturally would bend earthly. Right? But now it's the other way, the opposite, bending towards heaven. Apostle Paul calls this a transformation of the mind. In Romans 12:2, and the Weymouth translation is so good. I'll read the King James translation firstly. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now listen to the Weymouth translation. And do not conform to the present age. Now, it's rapidly coming to pass. We're at the end of an age. But be transformed by the entire renewal of your mind, entire renewing of your minds, so that you may learn by experience what God's will is, and that is good and acceptable to him and perfect. I like that too, don't you? Yes. And so Jesus tells us, Jesus said in John 14:23, he that hath my commandments, and we do have them, all the commandments of love, all summed up in love. The greatest of all is love. And he that hath them and keepeth them, he is it that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Means earnest striving, friends, but nevertheless, we have these precious promises. And friends, let us keep them in our hearts and minds. The first thing sacrificed is the human will. Yes, we give up our human will. And we said, thy will be done, didn't we?
That's right.
And from that time on, we may not be guided either by our own or by any other human will. But that's the danger. Oh, so many are guided by the human will, someone else. What someone else is. Following a man. No, that isn't it, friends. No, no. But only by the divine will. Thy will be done. The divine will having become our will, we begin to think, to reason, and to judge from the divine standpoint. Then, friends, these are all established in our hearts and minds. What a memory. God's plan becomes our plan. And God's ways become our ways. Zechariah 3:7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways. That's hard, isn't it? Yes, brethren, I know it is. But if thou wilt walk in my ways, God's ways, not your own, not the ways of some leader. Oh, no, be careful. Someone come around and tickle your ears a little with something new. Be careful. If thou wilt walk in my ways, then the Lord can use us. And he said, then thou shalt judge my house. My house. I wonder what that would be. I was thinking along this line. Jesus said to his disciples that in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, there shall ye sit upon thrones. That's the class, the new creation, receiving a divine nature. Then shall ye sit upon thrones, judging a house. What house? The house of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel. Spiritual Israel to be used to judge fleshly Israel. When? When they're in glory, of course, not now. But when they're in glory, on the other side of the veil. Just what the Lord said. On the other side of the veil. Now, St. Paul said, Jesus firstly said, if any man will love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. Behold, something great is going to take place. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when at the last trump, and we're living in that day today, the last trump, the trump of God, the Jubilee trump, is now sounding, and been sounding all during the harvest of the gospel age. It'll sound for 1,000 years. And you and I have the privilege of sounding that silver Jubilee trumpet. That's our privilege today. And that's why he said, there shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I'll have to pass over about half of this, I guess. I see our chairman is here. St. Peter promised us that if we would study these things and make them our own, store them in our memories, that by these precious promises, by these we shall become partakers of the divine nature. That's the story. By these precious promises stored up here, By these you shall become partakers of that divine nature, to be like him, see him as he is. And now think with me. One translation said, to share his glory. Ah, what wonders the Father has in store for us. And when the Lord begins to inhabit these planets, the moon too, I think the new creation will have something to do with it, not our scientists. Thank you.
Ever springing, all